Time now for your letters. Kathleen Braden from Washington State wrote to say that she appreciated our conversation with psychiatrist Robert J. Lifton about the psychological factors that influence individuals to take part in humiliating, abusing, or torturing other people. Ms. Braden wondered if we should also note the public statements of the present administration as influential. I remember feeling surprised when I began to hear President Bush talk about the war on terror and the action against Iraq in that he used phrases unusual for U.S. head of state, such as smoking them out of their holes and hunting them down. This fact, combined with other administration phrases that set up the United States as a paragon of virtue before the world, means that our fall from grace in this instance is even harder. Experts such as Lifton have noted that there is a fine line between conditioning people to fight war and maintaining obedience to moral codes. The public rhetoric and tone of the commander-in-chief may have contributed to the situation in the Iraqi prisons. Peter Gumry of St. Johnsbury, Vermont, wrote that he found it enlightening to learn of the psychological circumstances needed for otherwise upright individuals to engage in outrageous behavior. However, it would be worthwhile to consider the issue from a moral point of view. Torture is one of those acts which is at its core immoral and always wrong. Contemporary American culture urgently needs a return to the moral and ethical awareness which enables individuals to distinguish right from wrong behavior, along with the strength of character necessary to stop such abuses. Any outcome of this tragedy which does not include such moral and ethical awareness will leave us vulnerable to repetition. Many listeners also responded to my Mother's Day conversation with psychologist Thomas Cottle about his memoir of his mother, a concert pianist who gave up her career to raise her children. Nancy Nels Nelson of Asheville, North Carolina, wrote, "When my mother-in-law died, we heard from many of her friends that her life as a mother never came close to giving her the satisfaction that her life as a Midwest touring rockette entertainer in the 1920s did. But Nelson wrote that we were able to give her one last playbill by including facts of her short career, opening for the Marx Brothers in Cleveland, and having the heading of her obituary read, Adrian Nelson, Dancer." Write to us at wesun@npr.org, and please tell us the name of the town where you live and how to pronounce your name. ¶¶